Night Shir, Parshas Miketz, hopefully something on Hanukkah as well. Fine. Paro has his dreams, and his wise men try interpreting them. He's not happy. Yosef's called onto the scene. He gives interpretations, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, etc. And after he explains that, he goes on and gives Paro a little bit of advice. Vata yirei Paro, ish navon v'chacham, yishiseyu al eretz Mitzrayim. He says you should find yourself a wise man to put him in charge of Mitzrayim and to save up, you know, during the years of plenty, so we'll have for the years that are famine, etc., etc. So the Ramban says, Va'amar Yosef kol zeh. Why did Yosef, he was called to interpret the dream. So say, this is what's going to happen. He's telling for advice how to handle the situation. Why did he go ahead and do that? So says the Ramban, he said all of this, Bavur sheyivcharu oto. Because he wanted to be chosen to be the one to do it. So he figures if he'll be the one telling exactly what to do, so far I'll say, wow, great idea. Okay, go ahead and do it, which is exactly what happened. So that's why I wrote Yosef. Said this as the Ramban concludes, ki achacham eina barosha. Because achacham has his eyes in his head. You know, he thinks of what he's doing. So he says, Maisa here happened with him, Rav Galinsky. He says, after the Six-Day War, where the Yidden here in Eretz Yisrael saw tremendous miracles, right, open miracles. So after the war, Rav Yaakov Edelstein, he was the Rav of Ramat HaSharon, so he made a gathering for a Hodaya. He figured to make a whole gathering of people and to give thanks to Hashem that he saved us. So he invited a lot of non-religious people there. It was full of non-religious people, including army personnel and Rav Galinsky was called to say a few words. So he had in mind what to say. But then after he got there, they told him there's a little bit change of plans. It's not going to be, you know, a few drushes, but rather it's going to be like a symposium. Symposium meaning that people can ask questions. That's when you have questions and answers. So Glenn said that's not what I came for to answer. I wanted to say what I wanted to say, not let them, you know, ask them. They have to ask the questions. So he took the mic. And he said, listen, I wasn't prepared for questions and answers, but do you mind hearing a story? So they said, yeah, sure, we love stories. He says, okay, so let me tell you a story. So he says, in the times of Rabbi Akiva Eger, said there was a Baal Tokea in Rosh Hashanah, and he was, many years he was the Baal Tokea. But then, unfortunately, like quite a few Yidden, he got caught up with the Enlightenment, the Haskalah. And he started, going off the derech a little bit. Anyways, Rabbi Kibbeh got word of this, and he immediately took him down from his post. You know, he didn't want such a person to being the Baal Tokeah in the shul for Rosh Hashanah. Anyways, the guy got angry that this was done to him. So he went to the officials, the goyim, to the moshel, the mayor or whatever, the one in charge. And he complained. He said, the rabbi took me down from being the Baal Tokeah for no reason, whatever. So he said, oh yeah, so bring the rabbi in. So he called Rabbi Akiva Eger into him. So he comes in, and he says, this person is complaining to me that you took him down from being the Baal Tokeah, and I wonder what's behind all of this. So Rabbi Akiva Eger, very quickly, very wittingly, he said, I don't know what he's talking about. He wasn't taken down from his post, he got a promotion. He says, what do you mean? He said, let me explain to you. He says, on Rosh Hashanah, he was a Baal Tokeah on Rosh Hashanah. Right there, New Year, right? New Year, fine, we blow this thing called a shofar, right? Fine. He was our But he says, did you ever hear of Yom Kippur? He says, yeah, I've heard of that. He goes, yeah. He goes, that's the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. Everybody's fasting and wearing white and in shul the whole day. And he says, you know what the pinnacle, like the pinnacle of the holiest day of the year of Yom Kippur is? That's Ne'ilah. He says, that's our last prayer of the day as the sun's going down and the holy ark is open the whole time. And it's like Marja Pinnacle. And you know what? Right at the end of that, the height of the holiest day of the year, what happens? There's a shofar blowing. Right? And that blowing, we gave to this guy. So promotion, you know, from Rosh Hashanah to, oh, the holy Yom Kippur. He was, gave him the blow on Yom Kippur. What is he complaining about? He got a promotion. So the guy's like, oh, yeah, well, that's okay, thank you for telling me. I didn't realize that, whatever. So he says, apologizes for making him slap the kumtum, whatever. He sends Rabbi Kibbeh home. So he brings in the guy again, and the Kabbaltokeya, and he said, what are you complaining about? You got a promotion, not a, you know, they didn't take you down from your, what are you talking about? He goes, what? He says, yeah, the rabbi told me that they now you're blowing, they made you to blow on Yom Kippur, you know, not Rosh Hashanah. So he right away picked up on it, and he goes, oh, no. So he said, now how is he going to explain to this goy that Rosh Hashanah, that's mitzvah deraisa of blowing the shofar. Yom Kippur is a nice minhag, at most, you know, a minhag to blow the shofar, you know. Go explain that to this goy, you know. So what did he say? He said, he tried to say it in a way the goy would understand. He goes, excuse me, it's not fair. He says, on Rosh Hashanah, we blow 100 kolot, 100 times, and on Yom Kippur is just once. So the guy said, what? That's what you're complaining about? He said, you have the shofar on your hand? He says, just blow as you wish. What's the problem? You got the shofar, do what you want. You got the shofar in your hand. So Rav Galinsky said, so too here. He says, I was called, you know, they want to question that. No, he says, I have the microphone in my hand. I hold the mic, so now I'm going to tell you what I want to tell you. And he told him what he wanted to tell him. He brought the famous Maisa with Chaim Ozer that when he wanted to start a Jewish hospital, because there's no Jewish hospitals, and Yidden, they had to go to the hospital, they were at the Treifus and things, so he wanted to start a Jewish hospital. So you need money for that, so he called in some Gvirim, and he started speaking to them, and told them that, you know, if they could each donate some beds for the hospital, whatever. And as he's talking to them, this group of Avrichim, whatever, Shiva Bach, whatever, they came in, and to speak to the Rav, whatever. Chaim Ozer sees him and goes, oh, Shalom Aleichem, whatever, and he runs over to them, and this and that, whatever. And these Gvirim, they felt like slighted. You know what, he's in the middle of talking to us, he drops us and he goes to these Yeshiva Bacher. So they said, well, what's the meaning of this? So he says, oh, what's the meaning of this? He says, I'll tell you. He says, these young men over here, they're upholding half of this hospital we're talking about. He says, half? These look like poor Yeshiva Bacharim, went there upholding half the hospital? He says, yeah. He says, these Yeshiva Bacharim, through their Torah, people are not getting sick. So they're taking care of half the people. And whatever's left and gets sick, that's what you guys take care of. So he said, so too with the war. He says, you know, not to belittle, you know, the army, whatever it might be. He says, but he says, you have to realize that the victory was only because of those people that are learning Torah. And that's the point I wanted to make it to you. So going back to the to Yosef, he says, and therefore, that's Pshat. Yosef was called to interpret the dreams. But Yosef figured, hey, I got the microphone in my hand, you know, I'm on stage, you know, I got it. I think, now while I'm at it, I'll say, hey, you know, I want to get this job, so look, I'm holding the mic. So therefore he continued, you know, should this, do this, gave him the Eitzah, that he should be picked as a Ramban. So he said, look, once I'm holding a mic, I might as well, you know, take advantage of it and say what I have to say. So he just ends here the piece, and he says, parents, the microphone's in your hands. He says, mechanchim, the microphone's in your hands. Rabbanim, the microphone's in your hands. You when you have it, so take advantage of it. You know, try to get your point across. Okay. He brings here a beautiful diuk of one letter. See, makes the whole world of a difference. Brings down the pasuk, says, "Vis Binyamin achi Yosef, lo shalach Yaakov imechav." So Binyamin, he didn't send Binyamin with the brothers down to Egypt to get food. Why? Ki amar pen yikreenu ason. Because he said maybe an ason, a tragedy might happen to him on the way, something. Because the satan is mekatrik v'sasha sakana, so he didn't want to send down Binyamin. So he points out, notice how you spell yikreenu over here. Yikreenu is spelled Yud Kuf Resh Aleph Nun Vav. Now, Kara, the root is Kara. Normally, how do you say it's to something to happen? Is Kara Kuf Resh Hey, a Mikre, right? Is a thing that happens. To happen is with a Hey. Here it's spelled an Aleph. And it should have said Yikreenu with a Hey, something, an Ason, a tragedy might happen to him with a Hey, not with an Aleph. Here it's spelled with an Aleph. What's the idea? Aleph, Kufrei Shalav, is to call, right? To call, to address, to invite, right? To call somebody. Here, come here. You call Kore to somebody, right? So Yaakov used the Torah used the lashon with Yaakov that Yikra'enu with an aleph, meaning what? That Yaakov understood there's no such thing as a mikre, something happening. Mikre, as they say, is the same letters as Rak Mi Hashem. Right? Everything's from Hashem. Mikre. And there's no such thing as a mikre. Oh, this happened. That's not a Torah de Kashkafa. There's no such thing as coincidence. Right? Everything is Hashem's calling out. Hashem's calling the shots. He's calling. When Yaakov said, no, and maybe some tragedy might just happen to befall Binyamin. No, it's not a mikre. No such thing. It's yikre enu with an aleph. If something's happened, it's Hashem's going to make it happen because we're going into makom esrim sakana and we shouldn't do that. He's going to bring the danger. But it's not by chance. It's yikre enu with an aleph. We see it again. He says, lo yered b'ni imachem ki achiv meis. Again, he says, I'm not going to send Binyamin. He says later on again, because Ukra'uhu Ason with an aleph. But then what do we have? When Yehuda is later relates these words to Yosef, who didn't know was Yosef, of course, yet, and he thinks he's this goy, you know, and he's relating the story to him. There he says, Vayomer avdecha avielinu, and you know, our father said to us, Ulakachtem gam etze meim panai vikaro mafsam. I'm afraid you're going to take Binyamin. Why? Because maybe if you do, vikarahu asan. Here, karahu is with a hey, mikre. So he says, why? Because who is he talking to? This goy. So yeah, goy can't relate to hashkacha pratis and that. It's a calling with an aleph. So yeah, ben yikro, asan. He spoke to him like the goy understands. Like, nah, something will happen. A fluke, something might happen. So therefore, when he's speaking to Yosef as the goy, he uses the hey. Ben yikro, asan. Yikro, asan. Vekaro, asan. Whereas when Yaakov spoke to his sons, he used the aleph. It's hashkacha pratis. It's Hashem calling out. You see that one letter, it's a world of a difference, right? Kuf Reish Aleph or Kuf Reish Hey? Kuf Reish Aleph, Hashkacha Prati, the Hashem is in control. Kuf Reish Hey, it's just a fluke. You see that also, Rashi brings down by Vayikra, Vayikra al Moshe, right? The Rashi says, by Moshe, it's Vayikra, Kuf Reish Aleph, he's calling out. Whereas by Bilam, it's Vayakar, Vayikar. Right? By chance. Because that's the Ashkafa of the Goyim. Everything is a fluke by chance. Right? Amalek. Asher Karcha Bedera. Mikre. Mikre. Happens. There's no such thing as such Kacha Pratis by the Goyim. Brings down by Faro. The same thing. It's all the Nisim, Moshe Aaron. It's all that. Oh, it's your witchcraft. It's this, that. It's all this happens. It's no such thing as Ashkafa. That's what they held. And we see the same beautiful diuk by in Parshat Vayechi. Same thing. It says over there, Yaakov's on his deathbed, and what does he say? Hey, yasvu v'agidu lachem, gather and I will tell you, eis asher yikra eschem be'acharis hayamim. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the end of days. Again, when you say what's going to happen, it should be yikre, yud kuf resh, hey, that's how you talk, yikre, what's going to happen? But it's spelled with an aleph. So what do you mean, yikra eschem? Should be yikra with a hey, what's going to happen in the future? But again, that's the hashkafa of Yaakov Avinu, the Torah hashkafa. Yikra, etzchem, what's going to happen, that Hashem's going to call out, and Hashem's going to pull the, it's all from Hashem, it all comes from Hashem. Therefore, what's going to happen, how Hashem's going to call the cards at the end of days. He says he once heard from Chaim Shmulevitz, he says, you know, you hear sometimes, you still have it today in Bnei Brak, you hear it a lot, that they have these cars driving around with loudspeakers. You know, there's a Levi of so-and-so, the loudspeakers, right? She says, so Chaim Shmulevitz once said, he says, can you imagine a car driving with loudspeakers and saying announcement, right? Plony, you know, whoever it is, you know, Moshe, so-and-so, whatever, he fell down on Rabbi Akiva Street and he hurt his finger. And it's an announcement. They're going through the streets. Moshe, so-and-so, fell down Rabbi Kiva Street and broke his finger. Oh, and they're going around thinking, can you imagine such a thing? Of course not. It's ridiculous. And they're announcing that this guy fell down and broke his finger. Well, who cares? Like, what's that? He says, yet. We see the Gemara says in Chulin, Ein adam nokef etzasbo milamata elim kein machrizin alav milamala. He says, a hachraza is an announcement from Shemaim when a guy just stubs his toe, hurts his finger. It's not a person doesn't hurt his finger unless there's a hachraza from Shemaim. And this isn't, he says, a loudspeaker here in a car. It is hachraza from Shemaim. So you see that every little thing is all, again, a kriya. It's calling from Hashem. It's an announcement. It all comes from Shemayim. He says, ends off with a little mice. He says he's once in Tel Aviv, and they take care of something. And then he had to get back to Bnei Brak to give a shiur. And he knows it was very late. He needed to get, the shiur was in a half an hour. And he had to very quickly back to Bnei Brak. So he's dubbing to Hashem and said, please Hashem, help me find a taxi, you know, quick. I need. Just as he finishes his tefillah, caps taxi, stops right next to him, and somebody gets out. He lets somebody out, and he goes, oh, you know, so he runs over, you know, can I take it? He goes, yeah, sure, hop in. So he hops in, and he says, oh, how do you like that? Atov v'ameiti. He says, atov v'shvili, you know, I found a taxi, and a meiti to you, you know, you get another passenger, just like that. Look, you finish with one, you get another one. He goes, isn't that amazing? So the taxi says, yeah, he says, you know what? Taxi driver says, this is the third time, obviously not religious taxi driver, says, yeah, this is the third time that happened to me today, you know. That person gets out, another one gets in, you know. He says, some days are like dry, you know, I can drive the whole day and nobody comes in my car. Here, boom, boom, you know, person comes out, one comes in. He says, so then Rav Galinsky said to him, yeah, isn't that amazing, Hashgacha Pratis? And he goes, yeah, yeah, it's all luck, yeah, it's, I got a lot of luck today. So he goes, yeah, go explain this, luck, I got luck. Okay, what are we doing here? Set it. Yeah, it says, Vayakar Yosef es Echav, Vehem lo hikiruhu. Okay, the Yosef, his brother, they came down to Mitzrayim, and it says he recognized his brothers, but they didn't recognize him. Why didn't they recognize him? Famous Rashi, Lefi sheyatzah me'etzlam b'lo chasimat zakan, v'achshav b'tzahu b'chatimat zakan. That he, when he left them, he was clean shaven. He was a young boy, 17 or whatever, and now he had a beard, and so he didn't recognize him. Right. So he brings this little maysa with Rav Chaim Ozer Grzynski from Vila. He's when he used to be first when he was in time when he was learning in Vilazhin. He said one time he was in a very very good mood, and he called the yeshiva bachram over, and he said, "Ask me anything." Ask me anything, and I'll give you an answer. Anything you want to ask in Torah. Right? It's up to you. Anything. So, H. Barker's asking me, Kash from here, Kash from there, this, that, whatever. And whatever, boom, 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 we just answered everybody up. He said the only one he wasn't able to answer was Rav Moshe Shlomo Shapira. He was, this Barker at the time, he had a good Kash, that the one Kash he couldn't answer on the spot like that. Fine. So, the story continues like 20 years later down the line. That this Rav Moshe Shlomo Shapiro got a shteller, he became a Rav in the Rav of Warsaw, and he was making his way to Warsaw. So he stopped in Vilna on the way. So he said, "Oh, Rav Chaim Moser," and Chaim Moser eventually became the Rav of Vilna. So he said, "Oh, so I'll go visit Rav Chaim Moser. I haven't seen him in like more than 20 years, and I was a bacher, you know, in yeshiva. So let me, you know, go visit him." So he says, he goes, he knocks on the door. Chaim Moser opens the door. He says, oh, great. He says, I've been waiting for you. I have an answer to your question. Anyways, so besides, like, remember that he had this question 20 years ago. But he says, how did he know it was Rav Moshe Shlomo? He left without a zakan, and now he had a beard. Terence says, okay, so you don't have a beard. It's not like you're a different person. Okay, so you have a beard. Not like, you know. So he says, so it's a little bit schwer. What's pshat that the brothers didn't recognize him? Why? Because he had a beard. That's, and in fact says that Yosef was look exactly like his father, he said. So he said, he was splitting image of their father. So he looked exactly like father. Father had a beard, you know. So, hey, he looks like the father. And it's like not, like, so he says, what? No, Rav Chaim Moser had a great memory, which is true. But what? So the Shvatim were not, they didn't have such great memories. They couldn't, it's very, very difficult. He remembered somebody after 20 years, a bacher, so they couldn't remember their brother, right? Oh, because it's a beard. Oh, fair. So he goes on, we're not going all the richas over here, but he says that the whole thing's a pella, because time and time again, Yosef's doing things in front of them, which also should wake up, you know, this is probably your brother over here. A classic example, when they came, then he made a suda for them. And he sat them down exactly the feet of their ages. The Bechor, Bechor Asophers, the Bechor, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, exactly in the order of their ages, he sat, you know, etc. And Binyamin, he sat down next to him, separately, whatever. you know, like, hello, like this and that, you know. And it says, it says in the pasuk, vismuhu hanashim yishereyu. What vismuhu? Tmiyah. They're like, how did he do this? It's unbelievable, you know. Okay, so like, you know, maybe he looks like your father. Maybe he knows your whole family, because maybe like this is Yosef over here. How could they not have like? Got... So he suggests the reason is because the Midrash Tanhuma points out, Shekach Kasu Bisfarav Shel Paro Shelo Yimelch Aleihem Eved. It says in the books of Paro that an Eved cannot be a king. That's their rules in the country. Now they knew that they sold Yosef as a slave. So, in their minds, he could look exactly like Yosef, do everything like Yosef, but it can't be Yosef. Why? Because he was a slave, and slaves can't be kings. Finished. So what did they miss? They missed the point that Hashem's in control. Hashem can do anything, right? And therefore, that's why when he said later on, in next week's parasha, right, he says, Ani Yosef, Ora V'chai, and what does it say? That the brothers were astonished. They were, why were they so shocked? Because they said, what? But I never can't be a king. So what's going on over here? They were in shock, right? They didn't realize that Hashem could do everything. As we say, hey, leiv malachim b'sarim b'yad Hashem. Hashem can make who he wants king, when he wants king, and that was the point that they missed. And therefore, even he can look like Yosef, act like Yosef, everything. But in their mind, it can't be. It can't be, because Kev can't be a king. So. But Hashem could do anything. They forgot about that. Brings a cute little mice. He says once in shul, in the main shul in Bnei Brak, he came just at the end of the last minyanim of Shachar, we're finishing, and he was just waiting for Mincha Gedola there. So he said, okay, in the meantime, I'll just pick out the Gemara, so I'll, you know, learn a lot. So he's learning there, and he sees a very strange thing. He says, a guy walks up to the bima, and takes the paruch in his hand, and he's like, he wants to, you know, say a tefillah to Hashem. So as it happens, he said it like a little bit loud, so Galinsky was able to hear his tefillah. This guy obviously is a person that he needed parnasa or whatever, he needed money. So he said, Ribono Shel Olam, Eini Rotzei Lachbid Alecha, Titen Li Rak Kama Shata Yachol. He says, Hashem, I don't want to burden you. So whatever you can, though, you know, I appreciate it. Whatever you can, I want to burden you. Whatever you can. You know, Eli, you know what? I burden Hashem, right? Whatever you can. Hashem owns the whole world. What are you? It's hard for Hashem to give you this, give it that. I don't want to burden you. It capsulizes basically, though, what was with the brothers. You know, I can't be a king. He was an eved for Hashem. Nothing substantial. I brought another cute mice here with Naftali Amsterdam when he came. Aliyah came to Yerushalayim. He wanted to have a rav for himself. I mean, he was a great rav in his own right, but he wanted a rav. So he went to Rav Shmuel Salant, and he said, "It says a selach harav. I want to make a rav. Can you suggest something?" So he said, "Listen," he says, "Rav Chaim Yosef Zonenfeld, he gives a shiur between Mincha and Mar. He says, go to the shiur. You know, the shiur Mishnayos, Mincha Mar. He says, go to the shiur. He says, if you hear something new from him, then he's your man. Make him hear your rav. Make him your rav." So I said, fine. So he goes to the shul where Yosef Chaim himself was giving the shir to Mincha Mar, and he sits in on the shir. So he explained very nicely Mishnayos, very clearly everything, whatever. But truth of the matter, you know, he was a big gaon, you know, himself. It was not any great chidushim. He says until he's got off topic a little bit, and he was talking about the Perish Rambam in his Hakdamah to Perish Chelek in Sanhedrin, where the Rambam discusses his 13 principles of faith. Right? And he happened to be talking about the Indian of Mashiach, the coming of Mashiach. Fine, so he's talking about Mashiach, and he brought down the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says, Ein ben David ba, ella behesech hadas. That the Mashiach only comes when there's hesech hadas. Now people forget about it. Forget about the Mashiach. And then that's when, then Hashem says, they forgot, now I'm bringing the Mashiach. So when Natali Amsterdam heard this, he couldn't hold himself back anymore. And he said, Slicha Rav, he goes, I don't understand. What's Pshat? is there any yin that forgets about the Mashiach? He says, it's impossible. We say every day, Lishuascha kivinu koyayom, you know, every Shabbos we say, V'sim loch aleinu, ki mechakim anachnu lach, we're waiting for you. And is there any yin that forgets? How can you say, Shayach, Mashiach's going to come when people forget about Mashiach? No, he forgets about Mashiach. What's Pshat? So, Rabbi Yosef Chaim answered him, he says, tell me something. He says, imagine right now, there's a knock on the door here in the shul. A guy walks in, and he says, the Mashiach's here! Now, how would you react? You say, what? Mashiach? What? He says, that's called Hesech Hadas from the Mashiach. So if the guy says, Mashiach, wow, you run out! Run! Wow, Mashiach's here! Right? The fact that you're like, huh? What does that tell us? That you're not... That's called forgetting about the Mashiach. He said, when he heard that, he says, I found myself a rav. Okay. One last thing, something for Hanukkah. So he says, he brings here the famous Kushias Marana Beis Yosef. Famous Kushias Beis Yosef. Why is Hanukkah 8 days when the Nes was only 7 days, because they had enough oil for one day. That is now Nes. The Nes was that the rest of the 7 days, it kept burning, and whatever, that was a Nes 7, so why are we celebrating Hanukkah 8 days? We should only celebrate 7 days. I was thinking, he doesn't say this Aga, so it hit me today. It's a little bit of a pella. Why do we call it? Everybody calls it Kushias of Beis Yosef. Why? Because the Beis Yosef says it in the Torah, right? He says the Kasha. But the emes is, it's not like he thought of this kasha. It's an old kasha. The Rishonim talk about it, right? The Zerua, the Tosas Harosh, the Meiri, the Eshkol, all these Rishonim, which way before the Beis Yosef, asked the kasha, right? So, but yet everybody, ask anybody, don't say, oh, the Kushias of Meiri. You know, nobody says that. Everybody's like the Kushias of Beis Yosef. So why would he call it the Kushias of Beis Yosef? Okay, he asked it, but there's Rishonim asking before him. So I was thinking, a little cute shot maybe, that Parshas Miketz is always read, I think always read in during Hanukkah, right? And we have a pasuk in Parshas Miketz. What does it say? Ve'yiru hanashim ki huvu bet Yosef. They were scared because they came to Beis Yosef. So since the in Parshas Miketz we have Beis Yosef, so, and that's always read on Hanukkah, so Min Hashemayim, it happened that they relate the Kushia to the Beis Yosef. Just thinking of that. And then, Aga, when I was reading this Pasuk, I saw a very cute thing, I think. Maybe somebody says it, and I've heard it since the back of my mind from somewhere, but I think it's amazing. It says, fine, the men were scared, they brought Beis Yosef, but Yamru, Aldavar HaKesef HaShabam Choseinu Betchila. He says, why are we brought here? It's because of the money that was, you know, we would put in our sacks, whatever, right, our money. Now, what is the money in Hanukkah? Does it remind you of anything? He says, yeah, you know, we have Hanukkah Geld, right? And you play dreidel, right? So look at this. Pasuk continues. Lehit golel aleinu, lehit napel aleinu. What does hit golel mean? Rashi says, it means to turn. Lit golel, it was like a libel that came on them, it turned on them. But lit golel aleinu, lit napel, to fall. It twirls and falls. And when it, and the pasuk talks about kesef. It talks about kesef and thing, okay, that's not what Galinsky. Okay. Anyways, so back to the Kushias Beis Yosef. Okay, so I've got many, many answers to this question, of course. So he suggests an answer based on a little maisa that happened to him. And he says he was once in America collecting money for Mostot's Torah, and he went into this gvir, and the gvir said, "Listen, it's next week is Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is very mesugal for tzedakah." He says, "Come back next week, Hanukkah, and then I'll give you some money. It's mesugal for tzedakah, Hanukkah, you know." So Rav Galinsky, first of all, you know, there's a goyisher saying, which is the Gemara already says it in Sukkah, that the goyisher saying is a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. You know, you get something now, just do it now. You better have a little bit now and a lot later. It's a Gemara in Sukkah that says butzina tava mikara, that if you have a gourd that's very little growing on a tree and you can take it now or wait till it grows and take it later, it says take it now as it's a little gourd. Don't wait until it, because who knows? Or wait, it'll be gone. You know, cup now while you can. Right, so, but he tells the Gvir, he says, listen, he said, from Chanukah itself, I can bring you a raya that you should give me like the donation now and not in Chanukah, not next week. She goes, how? So he brought the Kushasa Pes Yosef, right, the wise Chanukah day, should be 7 days, etc. And he gave up pshat. What's pshat? Says, Chura, what happened? They needed to want to light the menorah, and they've only found one pach of shemen. Fine. Now, to make new shemen, it takes 8 days, right? Because you need 7 days to purify yourself. There are tamei mei, so you have to be sprinkled the third day, seventh, you need to go through the tahara process for 7 days. And then, after the tahara, a day for making the oil, and then for 8 days, and you have the oil. Okay, so after 8 days, you can have plain as much oil as they want, pure oil as they want, right? So he says, who don't understand. They found this pach of shemen in their eyes. They thought it was only going to last 1 day, right? So, what's the big deal? Say, we'll put it aside. We'll make the oil. And then after 8 days, we'll light. He says, they haven't been lighting already for tens of years. Not like, well, it's chaval to break the, you know, been lighting every day and why miss a day? You know, they haven't anyways been lighting for many, many, many years. So wait another week and then light, then you'll be able to start lighting light every single day. Now what's going to be? You're going to use this, you're going to light today, and then you have to take a break anyways for another week until you make the new oil. So why bother lighting it? Just make your new oil and light consistently from then on. You anyways haven't been lighting. So why didn't they do that? Said because they knew the idea of mitzvah bali yarcha al tach mitzena, that if a mitzvah comes into your hand, do it. Right? Don't say, well, I'll do it later, I'll do it better later, I can make that later. No. Do it now. Right? He brings from the famous words of the Mesilas Yesharim and Perek Zion. He says, if a mitzvah comes your way, do it right away. Quickly do it immediately. Don't let any time lapse in the meantime. There's no danger like the danger of not doing it right away. Asher hine kol rega shit chadesh, and every moment that comes, new moment, yuchali chadesh, eiza ikuv lemaisa yatov. If something can prevent you from doing that maisa. So therefore he says you do it right away. Mela, he says you have to chab. There's a famous Radbaz, the famous tshuva, the Mishnah Berurim even brings it down in Siman Sadi. He says the famous Radbaz, that this person was in prison, a yid, and the authorities said they'll let him out just for 1 day during the year. 1 day a year he can get out. So the shaila is, what day should he choose? So maybe he should choose Yom Kippur, because, you know, holiest day of the year, like we said before, or maybe a Purim to hear the Mikra Megillah, whatever, right? All different possibilities. So they asked the Radbaz, which day should he choose? So his answer was, what day should you choose? Today! First day that he can choose, go. So if there's a mitzvah to do, let's say you can't be on tefillin or whatever, and now he gets out, be on tefillin, fine, so get out now and put on tefillin, finish. I'll do it later with Yom Kippur. No, he says do it right away. He says, it doesn't matter if it's a mitzvah kala, mitzvah chamura, mitzvahs, you don't know that the matan schar mitzvah, zeh pashut meodetzli, says the Rambam. It's pashut. He says, you got a mitzvah to do, do it, finish. I'll do it someone later. You got something to do it right away. Zrizi magdimil mitzvahs, the same. And Mele, he says, answers the Beis Yosef's question. Right, we said, why 8 days? The first day wasn't a miracle. Here it says, we light the first day to celebrate that they lit that day. Right? Because they could have, like we said, well, let's wait 8 days. We'll light, like you mentioned, for consistently after that or whatever. But they said, no, we'll light 1 day. Just this one day. They didn't have to anyways take a break until Seder, but mitzvah bal yarcha, al tach mitzena, do it right away. So to teach this lesson, this yesod, we light 8 days. So the first day is also to bring out this point of zrizi makdim mitzvahs. And in fact, Hashem, Messiah, said, kol hakavod, you're doing the right thing. What did he do? And anyways, he extended the nace, and it lasted anyways for 8 days. So, to many nisim and niflos, Vayamim Ahem Yizman Azeh, and Rishi Zoicha to the Iker Nisim Inflos and the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu Bimhir Vayamim.